This is El Puente Podcast with
Kim,
Dave,
and Michael.
Conversations at the intersection of race, sexuality, religion, politics, art, music, and everything in between.
We're stronger when we connect the POVs of POCs.
Yeah, I had a great weekend last week. I forgot to mention it, but I did a performance, a brand new performance for Sound Space at the Blandon Museum of Art here in Austin.
Oh, cool.
And it just felt really freeing. Remember we had talked previously about the idea of dancing and helping you kind of release and kind of feel more connected and alive.
Yeah.
So in this performance piece, it was singing.
Oh, cool.
And so I got to like use my full voice in this piece, and it just felt very freeing. And
it was, I love it when you use your full voice.
It was very helpful. Oh, thank you.
Excuse me for talking over you.
But I'm very appreciative of the Blanton Museum of Art and, of course, Sound Space for providing that opportunity, for inviting me to create that work. So. But what were your weeks like? Things good?
Well, I don't know. I was sitting in my sofa watching the election returns.
And as were we all.
as everybody was. And just kind of, you know, biting my teeth or mashing my teeth and watching that and kind of reliving the trauma that I felt in 2016, you know, when it was looking like, you know, is this going to work out? Is democracy going to be saved?
It was terrifying.
But then as the night progressed, you know, and things start to kind of calm down a little bit, you know, it was a little better. I could go to sleep that night, you know.
Right.
And like 2016 where I literally could not sleep. I at least got some good sleep.
I had that year. I remember sleeping like out of depression, just like, I couldn't process anymore.
Yeah.
How about you, Kim? Were you watching?
Well, you know what? I just made a point to not be glued to the TV. I made a point just not to be glued to the TV. And, you know, I kept, you know, an eye on everything, but I went about things that I needed to get done. And I was happy, you know, to relieve myself of the obsession of it, you know, and then just to find out, you know, that there were some successes, you know, in our favor.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. I think,
and it's only gotten better as the week has progressed.
When
some of those close call elections were kind of coming down and finally coming our way. So,
tabulated.
Very, very cool. Well, I guess this is a good way to segue into the news, right?
It's time to pop the news.
Let's talk about it.
The news.
Election
2018.
It seems like as we get older, they become scarier and scarier. Like the margins are so much narrower.
The margins are crazy thin.
And we have so much more invested, you know, we really do.
Well, you know, when we were growing up, it was just a case of, you know, how much are we going to be paying in taxes? And, you know, how much are we going to try to cut things out of the budget? Now it's literally come down to one party upholds my right to exist and marry and have equal freedoms under the law, and the other party doesn't. It's like black or white right now. So that's why I feel like elections, in addition to being extremely important, they tend to be very traumatic.
Yeah.
They're traumatic, like, experiences.
It's like PTSD.
Yeah. Mm. And we have to... But, as we mentioned, there were some really good things that came out of this last election. Yeah. We are going to focus on some of those positive stories.
Yeah. But before we do that, we should probably get the elephant, or I should say the donkey, that's in the room out of the way.
Okay.
You know, obviously, we were all Bethel supporters. And we're really hoping. And
he's so authentic. And we knew that he'd be a good voice for us, but
I think it was very, very telling. Even though he did not win here in Texas, the margin was closer than any other Democrat has come in a really long time.
We made a statement, and as a friend of mine, Gary, said, we made a statement, you know,
and he helped people down ticket also win their races.
Yeah. So that's very important. We're going to be talking about that at the end of the show, but there was a number that you wanted to talk about here.
Yes, yes. So the most recent numbers that came out, and this is from the Texas Secretary of State office, 4,233,000 people voted for Ted the Nasty Ass Cruz.
Ted.
While 4,016,000 voted for Beto.
Wow.
So, you know, really close. Yeah. But what was disgusting to me is that there were 7,478,000 people who were registered to vote and did not.
And still did not vote.
The world.
That's like almost half, or I'm sorry, almost equal to the number of people that did vote.
Right.
Wow.
And it's like, you know, even if like a slim fraction of those people had stepped up and done their duty,
wow,
we would have turned the state blue.
People.
You've got to ask yourself, you know, who is in that demographic? Who are those people who are not voting?
Mm-hmm.
You said it's how many? 4 million? 7 million.
Seven million.
Almost 8 million people.
Yeah. And then there were additional 2,278,000 people who did not, who were eligible but did not even register to vote.
They didn't even get registered.
So that's 9 million.
Almost 10 million people.
Yeah.
That could be voting in elections here in Texas.
And could have swayed this election.
We need to really research to see if there's something that we can personally do to bring some of those people out.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's going to have to be something that we need to make happen quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Some other good news that happened. Well, there's Colorado that passed Amendment 1, which officially abolished prison slavery.
Yeah.
In 2018.
That is pretty powerful.
For those who don't know, apparently, you know, slavery was still legal in some form in terms of prisoners in the state of Colorado. In fact, it's that way in many states. Mm-hmm. But Colorado actually passed the amendment that said prisoners can no longer be forced to work for free.
Correct. Correct. And that's interesting because, like, you see every election, Colorado is doing some really progressive stuff.
Yeah.
And that's following a larger trend of the mountain states are becoming bluer and bluer and more progressive with their thinking.
All right.
And so I'm hoping that trend continues. And like,
I think it might spreads. Be because they legalized the weed.
Well that was one thing I was thinking about. Yeah.
Speaking of legalizing weeds, Michigan, great night for them. They will join Alaska, Colorado, Maine, California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, and Massachusetts, along with Vermont and Washington, D.C., in legalizing the recreational use of the marijuana. Wow. And apparently this is the first Midwest state to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a big...
That's huge.
That's a big trend. Yeah. That's a big change for the Midwest.
And so also in the same election, Utah and Missouri voters elected to legalize its use medically.
Medical marijuana.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a step in the right direction.
Step in the
right
crazy? Direction. Yeah.
Who would have thought, like, in our lifetime that this would be the trend?
Yeah. Weed is the new gay marriage.
It is.
Let's all get high and gay married.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about Florida?
Definitely. Kim, you want to talk about Florida?
Yeah. Well, Florida actually reinstitutes the voting rights of 1 million ex-felons using the Amendment 1, where, you know, we know that black people have been just by large proportions, you know, arrested and incarcerated. And they're going to benefit the most from this.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, over 400,000 black people out of a black voting age of more than 2.3 million or 17.9% of potential black voters, you know, they finished sentences, but they couldn't vote because of a felony record, according to the sentencing project.
Mm-hmm. So think about it. That's 2.3 million more potential voters in the state.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Powerful.
That's great. Good for Florida for doing that.
And we need that representation.
Well, they need to have their voice heard. They paid their price.
Exactly.
And so they absolutely should have the right to vote.
Hopefully this will happen in other states as well.
Yeah. And then, of course, there was Governor Scott Walker from Wisconsin, who I think just about any progressive Democrat will tell you they absolutely loathe this governor. He has done more to harm unions mm-hmm. with his union busting tactics up there as governor than anybody in the history. Mm-hmm. And he's done quite a job on unions. Well, yep. he lost, or as of right now, he is losing mm-hmm. his election to a Democrat, Tony Evers. And the particularly juicy
yes.
karma in
he
this one.
He kind of did this to himself.
This is great. I forget the day. Yeah, I think it was after 2016, the 2016 election. He signed a law that recounts would only be allowed when the candidates were in within like the 1% mm. percentage point of each other.
Yep.
And that's exactly where he is right now in, he's above in the vote that,
so,
tally.
So there is no yeah. possible recount.
Yeah, he can't.
Oopsie.
Yeah, it's so great. I love mm. it. Karma's a bitch.
Yeah.
So, and so is he, but anyway.
But we have some other takeaways from the midterms as well. So we had been, you know, leading up to it, talking about this blue wave of Democrats coming in and taking over and, you know, kicking these bums out of their spots. At first it seemed like it was like, oh, maybe not going to happen or maybe not as strongly. But as we said, like earlier, that's as the week has progressed, more and more seats are turning blue, mm-hmm. which is very, very good. But it turns out we are beating the historical average of midterm House seat turnovers.
Yes.
Which is very powerful. So, you know, it is a wave.
Yeah, it was definitely a wave. I think mm-hmm. that you know, because it was not dramatic, people were like, oh, maybe it's not a wave. No, it's absolutely a wave. Mm-hmm. And it's becoming more and more evident as we see. Let's look at the number of women mm-hmm. that yeah. are going into the House. As of now, we have 101 women mm-hmm. for the first time in history of this country mm-hmm. will be representing citizens.
It's about damn time.
Yes. Yeah, very, very powerful.
101 women.
Excellent.
It's fantastic.
It's just a start.
For the first time in history, a state will actually be sending an all-person of color delegation to represent them in Congress, and that is New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
Yay for you, New Mexico.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jahana Hayes, a former high school history teacher who was the 2016 National Teacher of the Year, won a seat in Congress as well. She's representing Connecticut, and she's going to become the state's first black woman to represent them in Congress. And I'm telling you, we need teachers up in there.
Yes, you want to fix absolutely. Some problems, mm-hmm. you need to put some teachers up in there.
And yep. black women, you know? I mean, in Houston, there's 19 black women running for various judicial seats in that county, and they won their races.
All 19 of them.
All 19. All 19 women. It's fantastic.
Love it. Texas, imagine this, has elected its very first ever Latinas to Congress.
Wow.
Why has it taken so long? I think there's like, I forget how many hundreds of people have represented the state mm-hmm. over the years. And this is the first time to ever have Latinas. So El Paso County elected Veronica Escobar, who was a county judge, and also State Senator Sylvia Garcia.
Beautiful.
Yay, ladies.
About time.
Represent us.
Yeah.
And it really shows the progress of our country that our Congress has its first Muslim woman, Rashida Tlaib in Michigan and Ihan Omar in Minnesota.
Love it.
Yeah, that's so great. I've been watching those races since those candidates entered. And I'm so excited to see those Muslim women going mm-hmm. to Congress.
Yes.
Are we good on the recording?
Mm-hmm.
We got three? I didn't see three. Okay, good. And so it's just going to be great to see them because of all of the xenophobia mm-hmm. that's coming out of this administration. It's yeah. so great to have yeah. Muslims up in there representing their communities yes. and pushing back.
Mm-hmm.
And
definitely.
It's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, and along that same vein, we have our first two Native American women who will be representing people in the Congress as well. Deborah Haaland, a Laguna Pueblo woman from New Mexico, and Charisse Davids, a member of the Ho-Chunk Nation from Kansas.
So Charisse Davids is like great. I've been following that race too. Yes. She is, of course, a former MMA fighter.
One of those,
she's an MMA fighter.
And she's a lesbian, right?
She's a lesbian. She's a Native American woman Kansas.
Yes. Yeah.
And she won. Yes. So,
get it.
Dorothy, I don't think you're in Kansas anymore.
Kansas, I don't think you're in Kansas anymore.
Yeah. But speaking of the Wizard of Oz, let's focus now on the rainbow wave that also came with this.
The rainbow wave. It wasn't just a blue wave. It was also the rainbow wave, named because of all of the gay, bisexual, lesbian, transgender candidates that we had on the ballots throughout the nation, many of whom won. We're going to go down the list here. So we had Jared Polis, who was the first gay governor-elect of the state of Colorado. We talked about Colorado.
Yep, and he's also Jewish.
He's also Jewish. Tammy Baldwin. She was actually the first openly LGBT person elected in the U.S. Senate, and she won re-election in Wisconsin.
Yay.
Yeah.
Well, like you mentioned, Charisse Davids.
We mentioned Charisse Davids from Kansas. Also, Zach Walls, who is not actually LGBT, but you probably have seen video of Zach Walls because he became famous for a 2011 speech in which he stood up in front of the Iowa State House to defend his lesbian mothers. This video went viral.
That's right. I remember it all over. Yeah, very articulate.
Very articulate. He stood up and he really defended, you know, obviously his mothers and also gay marriage. And now he is a state senator in Iowa's 37th Senate District.
Excellent.
Yeah, actually one of the youngest people to ever serve in that role.
Wonderful.
And Malcolm Kenyatta is the first black gay man ever elected to statewide office in Pennsylvania. Kenyatta, only 27, will be serving in the state house.
Ooh, in addition, Kate Brown will go on to serve another term as the governor of Oregon. And we have Julie Johnson, Jessica Gonzalez, and Aaron Zwiner. The numbers of LGBT lawmakers in Texas literally doubled in this election because there were three already. So these will be representing Dallas and Central Texas areas.
In Virginia, Republican Bob Marshall, he was the author of the anti-trans bathroom bill, if you guys remember, a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Well, Bob Marshall lost his seat to...
Oh, wait, get this, people.
Yeah, wait for it. He lost his seat to a Democrat named Danica Roem, a trans woman.
Yes.
So,
justice is so sweet.
Yes.
Justice is so sweet.
And along those same lines, Kim Davis from Rowan County... who refused to provide marriage licenses to gay couples, lost her bid to be reelected as court clerk to Elwood Caudill Jr.
Bye.
Bye, Kim. Bye. Go make some wedding cakes. So there was one notable loss that I was a little sad to see along the rainbow wave, and that was somebody who I was really rooting for. This was Christine Hallquist. She was running to be America's first and only trans governor from the state of Vermont. Really hopeful that she would pull it out, but she did not win her race. But just from being there and putting on such a great candidacy, I mean, she's just setting the stage for the future.
And who knows? Maybe she'll win for another office at some point.
Who knows?
And win.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, a couple of other takeaways from this election, and these are actually not technically part of the blue wave, but they're an effect of it. And I think this is really powerful. A record-setting 27 NRA-backed candidates lost their elections.
Wow.
That's 27. Huge. And a lot of people are pointing to the students in Parkland and their influence and speaking up about
their advocacy. Wow. They're traveling the country. They're making their voices heard. They're backing candidates.
Yeah, so young people, don't believe that you cannot make an impact.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You are making an impact.
Definitely, yeah. And I think this one's very noteworthy as well. When we'll wrap this up with 71% of the candidates that your president endorsed lost their elections.
Yes.
That's very telling.
Yeah.
And hopefully that wave will just keep coming.
Yeah, we need that wave to keep percolating. We don't care how long it takes. We don't care, you know, if it's dramatic or not. You know, it can be slow. It can take a whole week to manifest. As long as we see Democrats getting out there and voting in high numbers. And washing, you know, these these be people, people who do not represent you and your rights out of office, then everything's going to be okay.
And now we continue with a segment we call What Exactly Do You Meme, where we take bits and bobs from tweets and memes.
Here we go.
By at Julia Loffy. If a football player kneeling during the national anthem isn't an act of appalling disrespect to the men and women who serve, what is it when the commander-in-chief refuses to go to the cemetery to honor fallen soldiers because of a little rain?
Democrats elected 8 new scientists this midterm. Republicans elected 3 felons and a dead pimp.
From Shahid Amanullah. If you feel sad today, just imagine Mike Pence swearing 2 women into Congress with the Quran.
So let me get this straight. Republicans are demanding they stop counting the votes in Florida because Rick Scott is currently ahead, but they want to keep counting the votes in Arizona because McSally is currently behind. Do I have that right? By @Zach_Petkanis.
From the Susanna Lee. Maybe a bunch of white slave owners from the 1700s did not come up with the best government ever.
By @AidaChavez. Ladies, what's your makeup routine? I'm looking for a new foundation, preferably liquid but still matte. And now that the men have stopped reading, we riot at midnight.
From Absolute Space Girl. It's interesting how New Orleans was abandoned for 5 days and Puerto Rico didn't have power for a year. But you can get 15,000 troops to the border ASAP for a political photo op against an unarmed group of refugees who are 2 months away.
You can't say you love someone and then vote for people who will hurt them.
We can disagree and still love each other, unless your disagreement is rooted in my oppression and denial of my humanity and right to exist. James Baldwin.
If Jesus were on Earth today, would he be at a Trump rally or walking with the caravan?
Maxine Waters is the new chair of the House Financial Services Committee and can now subpoena Trump's bank records.
At JessCast, the Colorado cake baker who refused to bake a cake for a gay couple now has a gay governor.
From at La 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 Lindsay J, Nancy Pelosi, quote, America wants peace. Me, Nancy, I want some fucking healthcare and 1,000 Nazi scalps.
From at sorrymom.gov, if you have been vote-shaming your ass off, especially you white libs, please ask yourselves, what other material or direct action have you taken to service underprivileged communities most at risk under this administration besides filling out a ballot and taking a sticker selfie?
At @Mikel_Jollett. Hey, MAGA people, just fuck off with your fake-ass outrage about a reporter politely refusing to give up a microphone. You literally elected a man who admitted he grabs women by the genitals against their consent. I neither believe nor give one fuck about your idiotic argument.
What's even more dangerous than mass murder? The cultural normalization of mass murder.
I sat with my anger long enough until she told me her real name was Grief.
Lori Wheeler. A friend noted that while Texas re-elected Ted Cruz, Nevada had elected an actual dead pimp. You think they'd be open to a trade?
From Saladin Ahmed. I like Beto a lot, but it's wild to me that all these women of color won tonight and people go right to talking about how presidential the white guy who lost is. And by wild, I mean totally predictable.
Racism is 700 voting machines found in a warehouse today, while polling places servicing black voters had 4-hour lines to vote on machines running Windows 2000 with no paper backups. Those are all of the memes and tweets we have for this week on What Exactly Do You Meme? If you have any great ones you want to share with us, please, please, please do so on our Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, or you can email us at pocamadremedia@gmail.com.
This week in the clapback heard around the world, Michael has not one, but 2 epic clapbacks. Michael?
Yes, and they're quite juicy. One was, it's a little bit older, this happened on the campaign trail, but it's still good to take note of.
It's anyway. Still relevant.
It really is. It really is. So this one comes from Triumph, the insult comic dog. Do you guys remember him?
From, oh, yeah.
From the Conan show?
Totally love Conan. Triumph. Trump. Yeah. What's his name?
Triumph.
Triumph.
You're thinking of the other dog.
Sorry about that. Yeah.
No, but so it's a puppet character who was conceived and performed by comic Robert Smigel.
Mm-hmm.
And he took Triumph out on the campaign trail in Texas. And he got to interact with both Beto O'Rourke and Ted the Zodiac Killer Cruz. And so the puppet got to make fun of Beto's punk music background from back in the 90s.
Right.
And, you know, was saying something about, like, you know, hey, have you heard his music? You know, well, trust me, if Beto wants to stop the border crossings quicker than Ted Cruz, he'll just play his album down there.
Oh.
You know, and Beto took it in good humor, yeah. You know. But, of course, lame-ass Cruz decided he had to try and be cool and, like, you know, have some banter with this piece of plastic on someone's hand.
Oh, no.
And he didn't do such a good job.
What happened?
So Cruz said, you know, just remember, it wasn't the Republicans. It was the Democrats that took you into the vet to get you fixed. There's freedom on the other side. But Triumph, being quick-witted as always, clapped back hard with I support spaying and neutering just like Trump did to you.
Ow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Owned by a puppet. I love it.
That's
yes.
So great.
That makes it even more meaningful.
I have to see video of Ted Cruz's face after he got clapped back.
Do you really want to see a video of his face?
Not really. Not that you put it that way. No, but you're right. I mean, he's got a great point. I mean, mm-hmm. A lot of people have brought that up. I mean, this is a person, Ted Cruz is a person who literally, when he was running for president, Donald Trump said that his father was implicated or assisted in the assassination of JFK.
Yeah.
And this is a person who called his wife
ugly.
Ugly.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was that famous quote of Ted, you know, trying to be all macho. And he's like, mm-hmm. Donald, you're a sniveling creep or something like that. And you leave Heidi alone or something, blah, 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 blah. Trying to sound all, you know, tough Texan.
This is another good one, too. So your president tweeted that, you know, Mayor Gillum conceded on Election Day, and now Broward County has put him back into play. Bill Nelson conceded the election, and now he's back into play. This is an embarrassment to our country and to democracy. Ugh. Piece of shit.
God.
But, hopefully Andrew Gillum wins, because I want to hear more from him, especially based on this tweet.
Before you read the tweet, let me just say, when you were reading that tweet from the president, mm-hmm. Is it weird that I hear his voice when you read that? Like, did you hear his voice?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
It's so annoying. But then also, too, to your point about, I really want Andrew to win this race.
Yes.
I really want Andrew to win. I hope that when they do count all the votes that are going on in Florida and Broward County, mm-hmm. that, you know, he comes out on top, because they really have to defeat those racists over there. Yes. But anyway, what was the tweet that he said in response to Trump's comment?
Here we go. So I'm glad y'all are sitting down, because this is a really good one.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, you know, Trump saying that it was an embarrassment to this country that, you know, they're back in play in these close elections. And so Andrew Gillum tweets, "What's embarrassing to democracy is not counting every vote. And you, of course, count every vote."
That's so good. Yes.
I want him to have a national stage to go after Trump like that all the time.
Yeah.
Because A, he's right.
He's right.
B, imagine how that would piss him off to have this powerful black man coming after him and, you know,
and laying it out.
Yeah.
Barack 2.0, man. Yeah. I think that would literally make Trump's brain explode. Which would be a delicious.
Delicious.
So anyway, there you have it. Two epic clapbacks for this week's The Clapback Heard Around the World.
Opinions are like assholes. Just some of them don't stink.
So this week's opinions are like assholes. We're going to talk a little bit about someone that we probably love here at El Puente Podcast. I know I do. But he kind of put his foot in his mouth this week. We're talking about Uncle Bernie Sanders, who in the midst of all this chaos and craziness with the elections, he actually said something very unfortunate. And I don't know if you guys saw this, this quote. He said, and I'm going to read it for our listeners. He said, quote, "I think you know there are a lot of white folks out there who are not necessarily racist, who felt uncomfortable for the first time in their lives about whether or not they wanted to vote for an African American. I think next time around, by the way, it will be a lot easier for them to do that." So I see you guys are already reacting. My question is Bernie right? You know, what do you guys think about this comment?
Oh, Jesus.
Take it, Kim.
I'm sorry, Bernie, and we all love you, but you can't presume to know that. I mean, you can't speak on behalf of black people and be so blanket statement about it, you know, like that. I mean,
But do you think he's right that the people who, let's say white people who go into the voting booth and they feel uncomfortable voting for a black person, let's say Andrew Gillum, let's say Stacey Abrams in Georgia, you know, let's say Barack Obama back in whenever, 2008, right? That it's okay. They're not necessarily racist because they feel uncomfortable voting for a black person. Does that uncomfortableness make them racist? I guess that's the question.
To me, I think so.
I mean, how
I'm sorry.
What else is motivating that uncomfortable feeling?
Yeah, I mean, that's what I feel about it. I mean, I'm sorry. There's no way around it. Look. And it's okay. We are all a little bit racist in some way, even unconsciously, that we, even the best of us who really try to take things case by case, there are these subtle racist ideas that we have based on, you know, our experience. And
I mean, even if it's just simple little biases, that's, it's still, they can be racially based. But he's, I'm trying to get at the heart of what was he trying to accomplish by saying that. Was he trying to get them off the hook somehow, or like be an apologist?
I think he was trying to say, like, we've progressed further.
Okay, but why did he have to say this out loud? Into a microphone in front of cameras or whatever it was.
He reportedly said it to the Daily Beast, which is a publication. It was an interview, so that he said this. My take on it is this. So Bernie's what, 70-something? Right?
Yeah. Probably,
And here's the deal. Here's the deal on Bernie. I voted for Bernie. Bernie is a progressive, true and true. And he was in the streets with the marchers in the 60s. There's photos of him being arrested for civil rights marches and the whole thing. So he walked the walk when it comes to civil rights, right? And we know that he is motivated from a progressive standpoint in equality. Like, that is is in his DNA. But what is also true, I think, is that Bernie is a 70-something-year-old white man.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I guess my question really is there some truth to what he's saying? Or can we understand the white person's perspective? Because we hear it a lot, that I'm not necessarily racist, but X, Y, and Z that I just did is racist behavior. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think anytime you start with that phrase, you're racist.
or what you're about to say is going to be racist.
Yeah. I'm not racist, but everything after that comma is a racist.
Yeah. Well, here's what I think. I think just because of their position, white people are going to have to constantly check and recalibrate within their context in this conversation, because they will never know what it's like to be a person of color.
Yeah.
Right.
Especially black people.
Yeah.
You know, they'll never know what that's like.
And I'm not telling white people to tiptoe, honestly.
No.
But at the same time, don't try to speak on behalf. I mean, I feel like in some ways.
So you think he's saying this on behalf of black people?
I think he's saying it to comfort black people, like, we're a little bit more progressive now, and that now that we've had our black president, we can ease into.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
I think you're right.
Yeah.
I think he's trying to exactly. It's exactly right, Kim. Yeah. I think he is trying to say, hey, you know, they may have not voted for these black candidates this time around. They might have felt uncomfortable by it, but they're not really racist people. And it's like, I don't know, Mike. Yeah. I don't think a lot of black people are going to buy that.
No, and especially after you come, it comes right after a two-term African-American president who was overwhelmingly voted for.
Yeah.
It's like, the people are out there that'll vote. It's for black people.
Yeah. It made me think about this old line that Bill Maher used to always say. He always used to joke, and I thought it was an astute observation. Bill Maher would always say, not all Republicans are racist, but all racists are probably Republicans. And do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
it's not literally true.
No, it's not.
But it's really funny.
But it's funny. No, but I mean, I think what we're saying is that the racists in this nation have found a home in the Republican Party.
Definitely.
And it's, especially now with Trump. Like, whereas before with the Bushes, with who was before? The Reagans and who were some
Ford.
Of the Ford? Well, Ford was Democrat. No, he was Republican.
Yeah, he was Republican.
And Nixon, right? Mm-hmm. It was always dog whistles. It was always subtle racism, right? It was always like, you know, the silent majority, wink, wink, nod, nod, you know, crime and punishment and blah, blah, blah. But now
it's like a slide whistle
with Trump. It's like a trombone. It's we're racist. And
a Trump bone.
Yeah. It's a Trump bone.
Ew. Ew.
That's gross.
That conjured a horrible image
that's
in
gross.
My head.
That's gross.
Please
that's
no.
Gross.
Please no.
No, but I mean, and so
doggy
it's,
bone.
But my point, I guess, is this, that it's really disconcerting to hear progressives like Bernie, you know, kind of trumpet that same kind of, we're not all racist, but everything I just going to say right here after this comma is a racist sentiment.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he'll come around and like clarify what he meant, and maybe he didn't mean it that way.
He better, because there's a reason why Hillary Clinton won with black voters in her election.
Yes.
Bernie would have been the candidate for the Democrats in 2016, but he could not connect with black voters. And those kinds of statements are the reason why. So, Uncle Bern, if you're going to run for president again, you got to get your shit in order, buddy.
Yeah, you need to get you a black advisor to just tell you, no.
No, don't say
don't
that.
Don't say that.
And don't wear those shoes.
Well, here's a segment we haven't done in a while. No, ma'am.
No, ma'am. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. No, ma'am.
So this week in No Ma'am, we were talking about Juan Gabriel. What's going on with Juan Gabriel?
For those listeners who are unaware of who Juan Gabriel is, he was this iconic Mexican singer who like transcended genres, and like he was like a god in many, and he was a queer musician, but
he would never say he was queer though.
Not outwardly, but he did have some phrases that he would say to kind of like basically say it, but not say it.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyways, he like, think of him as like Mexico's Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he passed away, is it 2 years ago?
It's
now,
been
I believe?
A couple of years
two
now.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like the country mourned, like it was huge. Well, for the segment of No Ma'am, I'm going to talk about Joaquin Munoz, who was Juan Gabriel's ex-manager. And he has been starting rumors that Juan Gabriel didn't actually die and that he'll be back in December. He's getting bored with his hidden life and he's going to come back into the spotlight.
Oh my gosh.
Wait a minute. So Juan Gabriel didn't die.
That's what he's saying.
Well, what's Juan been doing, according to Joaquin Munoz?
Just hiding out, pretty much.
Just hanging out.
I wonder if he's trying to get some, like, impressionist, you know, like, an impersonator. Oh. Like,
no, I think, well, here's what
is
I think.
Is he hanging out with Tupac and Biggie? What's he doing?
I think so, and Whitney.
And Michael. They're all just hanging out.
Right?
Well, and Elvis.
And Elvis.
Oh, that's right. No, Elvis has really died by now.
Elvis would have been dead by now.
But here's what I think. So The first time this actually came out was back in March, and this was during a book tour that he was doing, and in this Peruvian paper, he was talking about him being alive, and so he's been continuing to talk about it. It's like, okay, you're trying to sell some books.
Yeah.
You're trying to milk your connection to him to make some money.
Yes.
And that's just disgraceful.
It is disgraceful.
And you know, and so disrespectful of Juan Gabriel's memory.
Yeah.
You know, because there are going to be some people who hear this and are going to believe it. And they're going to get their hopes up that their idol is alive. And, you know, it's evil.
It's
no,
evil.
It's messed up.
I knew it was a publicity stunt, and it's just so low.
Yeah. Yeah. So sad.
Sign of the times. Mm-hmm. To that, we have to say, no, ma'am. Mm-mm.
No, ma'am.
No, 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 señorita. Many of us who are people of color, or maybe some of us who are trans, have people constantly trying to figure us out. And so whether we're ambiguously racially or gender-wise, we get asked a lot of times, no, but really, what are you? You know, that can really piss you off. So we thought we'd have some fun with that, and we have this segment where we go and we take online quizzes to figure out, what are we? What are you?
And since this is election week, mm-hmm. we have a post-ballot kind of themed quiz this week, right? What are we trying to figure out this week?
So just because, you know, it's post-ballot box time, but the struggle is just getting started. We have so much more to fight. We have to continue with the same fervor that we had leading up to the election. And to be stronger and fight harder and get up that hill, we have to acknowledge and personify our heroes.
All right.
Superhero.
So, yeah. So, this is a which Marvel character are you?
Awesome. Right. So, you guys click on the link mm-hmm. that we have here, and you can play the quiz along with us.
Yeah, check in the show notes.
Here we go.
This is at magicquiz.com. First question is, the Marvel superhero teams are drafting new members. Which do you want to be a part of? The Avengers, S.H.I.E.L.D., X-Men, or Fantastic Four?
Oh, I'm an X-Man.
Boop. Yeah,
yeah, I was going to say that too. This next one is, what motivates you? You have not that much. I seek adventure. I don't want to be alone. A sense of duty. Petty jealousy, mostly.
And I want justice. I want to be better than everyone. Or I want revenge.
Ooh.
I want justice.
Are we talking about the election, right?
Just you in general. Just you in general.
I want justice.
I want justice, yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
All right, next we got Tonight's the Night. You're going on your third date with the most perfect person in the world. What makes them so attractive? I could be shallow and say they're super ripped, but no.
I'm torn between they're sarcastic and witty and they're super smart. Because I like nerds. Yeah. I'm way attracted to nerds.
Hey.
That's why I was with Michael for so many years.
You know what? I'm going to go with moral compass.
Wow.
We need... I love... That is very attractive. Yeah. Guys with moral compasses.
Oh, I'm sorry. I kind of like a little bad boy.
See, for me, it's they've got wicked charm.
Yeah,
anybody can charm the pants off me if they're charismatic. Yeah, so
get your pants
any
off.
Any listeners, all right. Who are charming.
Now you know how to get his pants off. Okay, next.
When it comes to relationships, would you ever date another superhero?
Yeah, absolutely. I need someone who understands my lifestyle. No way, it's too dangerous, or I'm not really interested in dating.
I'm going to put, yeah, absolutely. I need someone who understands my lifestyle.
Yeah, yeah. That's
yeah,
me too.
It's always better to have somebody mm-hmm. who, yeah, who knows what you're going through. Mm-hmm. That's why teachers date teachers usually.
All right. If you had it your way, you'd like your last meal on Earth to include apple pie, bacon, fast food, or candy.
I'm going to go with apple pie. It's nice and warm and... gooey. Yeah.
Especially that apple pie in that picture. Looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks good.
But I'm going to go with bacon because I love bacon.
Yeah. With fast food, I mean, I could just get a whole bunch of french fries, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I love french fries.
But there were fries on
it? Just says fast food.
There's curly fries and fries in that picture.
No, I'll take the apple pie. All right.
All right.
Number six. You suspect someone close to you has betrayed you. What would you do? Find a way to prove they did it. Trick them into confessing. Oh, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Kill them before they can do more damage.
Dang.
Destroy them, of course. Confront them about this terrible rumor. Find a way to use this to my advantage. I'll just have a few words with them over drinks. Well, I'm always up for drinks, so.
Oh, my God.
I find you can really settle a lot of beef with just a night out with drinks. Have you noticed?
True.
I would destroy them, of course.
Wow.
No, actually, I would confront them about this terrible rumor.
Oh, see, I would trick them into confessing. I'm conniving like that.
You are. You know this. I'm going to go with drinks because I love drinks.
Dr. Doom has stolen the powers of the Silver Surfer and taken over the world. How will you stop him? Since Dr. Doom is bound by honor, I'd try to reason with him. If that didn't work, I'd use force if necessary. I'd fight him. I'm smarter than him, and my ego demands it. Well, that depends. Is the person I love in danger? Well, I try to always do the right thing, even if that means getting my butt handed to me. I join the Fantastic Four, work as a team. The situation is bigger than me. Or I'd be patient and wait for the right time to strike.
That sounds like the Democrats with Trump. Being patient, waiting for the right time to strike. We're not going to do that.
No, ma'am.
I'd fight him. I'm smarter than him, and my ego demands it. My ego demands it. It's true.
You just got caught driving too fast, and now you've got a speeding ticket. What do you do? Do you say, I'd say thank you, officer, and pay the fine? Please, the police officer would be putty in my hands. I could talk them out of anything. I'd rip up the ticket, flip off the cop, and be on my merry way. I'd try to make the cop laugh and get out of the ticket. But if that didn't work, I'd accept it and move on. I really can't be bothered with this. I'm already running late. Or wait, why am I getting a speeding ticket? I never sped. Yeah.
Kim, you've done all of these because you've gotten so many tickets. Which of those are you today?
I probably would make the cop laugh and try to get out of the ticket, but I'd accept it and move on.
Yeah. As you push your bra strap off your shoulder.
Shut up.
I'm going to pay the fine. I'm going to pay the fine and get out of there because I'm not trying to fuck with no cops. All right.
Yeah, I did the same.
Well, because I recently got a ticket this week.
There you go.
And there you have
point
it.
Point made.
So, number nine on the quiz. What's your favorite part of being a superhero? Living a life of mystery? Or having the coolest toys? Or meeting other people like me? I always thought I was alone. Or using my powers to help others who can't help themselves.
That would probably be me.
Yeah. I want to help other people who can't help themselves. Yes. For sure.
Living a life of mystery.
Is that you?
Oh, really? Yeah. All right.
You do live a life of mystery.
All right, number 10.
Okay.
One of your coworkers is always putting you down. What do you do about it?
Oh, God. This is like my life.
Let's see. Where does it say slap them?
I don't see that it doesn't say that.
I'd pull the person aside to talk to them privately, find out what's going on. You know, I can only take so much before I explode. I'd just walk away. I've got bigger fish to fry. I'd dish it right back to them, make them cry. That'll show them. That sounds promising. Well, I'd take whatever they say as a compliment and diffuse the situation, or I'd turn their insult into a joke.
I think I'd just walk away. I've got bigger fish to fry.
I do, too. And you know what? You can make a really big statement when you just walk away and let them stir and fry.
Yes.
It makes a statement. I like that.
Very true.
Oof. I'd like to say I'm not honorable, but I'd probably turn the insult into a joke.
That's my
superpower.
Okay. All right, number 11. Nick Fury has asked you to represent S.H.I.E.L.D. and go out to dinner with a very important client. The only catch? Their breath is atrocious. How do you act? Do you ignore their breath and pay for the meal? It's the right thing to do. Or cancel the dinner date and order takeout? Can't stand annoying, smelly people. Or You'd politely offer a mint and say, "This is a rare candy from another dimension that must be enjoyed and savored." Or you'd say, that's a good one.
That is.
I'd end the meal quickly and say, "Sorry, but Nick Fury needs me to save the world. Text me." Or, honestly, I'd only be able to take so much before I said something offensive. And lastly, I'd send someone else in my place to handle this inconsequential matter.
I would totally. I know that I would be the one to politely offer a mint and say, "This is a rare candy from another dimension that must be enjoyed and savored."
Yeah. Same.
Because honestly, I have this situation right now.
Uh-oh.
With the manager that I work with.
Oh.
That I need to like.
Who's listening to this podcast right now?
Oh, no.
Maybe. Maybe I'd this like is, this to is tell him, like, dude, you need to carry.
You need this mint from the other dimension.
You need to carry some Mentos at all times.
Yeah.
Or you need say that?
No, just say you need oral surgery. You need surgery to remove the smell.
No, that's so mean. What you do is you just, you know, you take a mint. And then you're like, "Oh, would you like a mint?"
Yes.
You just slide like that.
Yes. Yeah, say, "I always carry these Mentos for just, you know."
Mm-hmm. And this Listerine.
Just for safekeeping.
Right.
And this Listerine. Okay.
Okay. Next.
The last question.
Last question.
All right. You have a big day planned at work, but wake up with a cold. What do you do? Do you take a healthy dose of medicine and see how you feel in a little bit? Do you curl back up in bed and get some rest? There's no way I'm going to work today. Do you suck it up and go to work? Hopefully I'll feel better by lunchtime. Or call my boss and let them know I'm sick, but that I can work remotely.
There's no option for like, I'm taking a week off.
Yeah.
That's what I would have said.
I'd curl back up and get some rest.
Yep. Click.
Yeah.
Not me. I am just a workaholic and I'd probably either say suck it up and go to work or call my boss. Nope, I'd suck it up and go to work.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The true teachers. All right,
here all right we go.
Show me your results.
Show me the results.
Bum, ba, da, bum.
In fact, I'm pretty sure I've done that.
Yeah.
I tried to keep my distance from the kids. Mm. Oh my God. Paul would be so proud of me. I'm the Hulk.
We kind of knew that. What does it say about the Hulk? Read it.
It says, "You've got a fire in you and it drives everything you do. Sometimes you wonder how so many people can just sit idly by while so many unjust things are happening in this world. You're extremely intelligent but have trouble managing your passionate emotions."
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
"The flip side to your anger, however, is that you're extremely empathetic to the feelings of other people. You know firsthand how hard it can be to keep things bottled up inside. Share your super results with your friends."
Awesome. Ooh. I also got the Hulk. That's fantastic. It's totally me.
Yeah.
What about you, Michael?
I got the Black Widow.
Ooh.
Wow. What does that say?
"Extremely intelligent and calculating. You have intuitive skill for reading other people. You're a fixer, a closer, a doer. The kind of person who's the first one in and the last one out. Because if there's anyone you trust to get stuff done, it's you." That being said, while you're ruthlessly efficient in pursuing your goals, you do not know how to relax and enjoy life when you're not hard at work. But hey, that determination has served you well. Wow. That's really me.
That's you.
Dang, that's scary.
Wow.
So I think we can say this mm-hmm. quiz is spot on for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
So guys, make sure you take this quiz. If you weren't able to take it with us, mm-hmm. go ahead and take it now.
Yeah, and find out exactly who you are.
What your superhero strength is. This week in Mi Gente, where we call out our own people, Michael's got an interesting observation about Latino voters. Michael?
Yes. Well, actually, I have two things. So the first one is Latino voters, especially in this most recent election here in Texas. While, you know, we made some great ground with Beto's candidacy, we still had 37% of Latino men voting for Ted Cruz.
What is wrong with them?
Whoa.
That machismo has been...
37%?
Needs to be fixed, man.
That's close to 40. That's pretty scary.
That's a big chunk of voters.
That is.
I wonder what it is about Ted Cruz's politics or the Republican platform that attracts them.
I'm wondering if it is just like a cultural thing. Like, oh, it's another Latino.
You think it's just because his name was Cruz?
It could be.
Oh my god!
Wow.
Yeah,
that would be a really mi gente if that was true.
It really, really is. It breaks my heart.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just I'm happy knowing that I was not part of that 37%.
Yes,
thank God.
But that one hurt.
That's
when I saw those statistics. The other mi gente I have is about comedian Paul Rodriguez. Do you all remember him?
I used to love him.
Yeah. Well, you're about to hate him.
Why? What happened?
Yeah, so this guy goes back, you know, like 70s, as when he like really started his career in comedy.
Yeah, he really hit it off in the 80s, 90s. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like he was in a lot of movies and stuff. And well, turns out he has admitted that he is not only Republican,
okay,
but that he actually likes your president.
Oh no!
Yes, he's Cheeto himself.
He's a closet Trump supporter.
Yeah. And it's like,
well, not even closet. He's
no.
He just came out of the closet as a Trump supporter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, it breaks my heart. I mean, I was never like a huge fan of his, but
that's
still,
backhand.
It's like we don't need any like prominent Latinx people in the media saying this stuff and like influencing people like the 37% of men, Latino men who voted for Ted Cruz.
Well, how can we find out why he supports Trump? Are there any articles that we should check out? Or
yeah, so I mean, this came from TMZ.
Okay,
and that's who he admitted it to.
Oh,
and in saying so, he admitted that he's probably going to get eaten alive for it.
Right.
So everyone, get your forks and knives and.
Oh my god.
Eat away.
Ay, mi gente.
Ay, Paul Rodriguez. ¿Qué estás pensando? No, está pensando. No.
We are bringing back again. The Real History Has Shades and Curves this week. A segment where we talk about the underrepresented people in the history books. Kim has one this week from haveagayday.org.
Yeah, Willem Arondéas, a gay Dutch artist and author, was an anti-Nazi hero who blew up the Amsterdam Public Records Office to keep the Nazis from identifying Jews from extermination.
Amazing.
Yeah. Arondéas was later apprehended and put to death, but not before uttering his final words, "Let it be known, homosexuals are not cowards."
Wow.
Yeah.
Never heard about him in the history books.
Right? But I mean, think about it. This is a man who was obviously going to be persecuted for being who he is, but he put up his own life in danger.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that's very powerful. And those last words, powerful.
Yeah.
That should be.
He lived those words.
Yeah.
By, dying.
His actions.
Those words need to be on T-shirts and out there.
Yeah. Let it be known, homosexuals are not cowards. And then underneath it, his name and, a little bit about him.
Yeah, that's so true.
It kind of reminds me of that that shirt that I bought. It's it says the word nah. And then underneath it says Rosa Parks.
Yes.
Like Rosa Parks was like, nah.
Nah.
Eh, getting out of the seat for you.
Nah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's a great, great story. Yeah. Someone that I've never heard of. Mm-hmm. And his name is?
Willem Arondéas.
Look him up.
Yes. Thank you for your contributions to history.
David and Michael constructed this little Spanish lesson for me called Lecciones Learned.
We are going to give Kim vocabulary for the resistance.
All right.
This is resistance vocabulary.
All right.
So what we're going to do, Kim, is we're going to say some words in English or some phrases.
Okay.
And you're going to try to say them in Spanish, and then we'll tell you if you're right or not. Okay?
Oh, great. Okay. Great.
And keep in mind, these are all to do with resistance, okay? So, here we go.
Okay. So, the first word that's very, very important as being a part of the resistance is protest, to protest.
Okay. I'm going to say protestando.
That could be one word.
Protestar is actually a word that you will hear. I think,
protestar?
Protestar.
It's more of like the cognate version.
It's a cognate.
But the one that is generally used is manifestar.
Oh, manifestar.
So what would be the English cognate of that, you think?
Manifest?
Yeah. Manifest. I like that version better because it's... You know, you're like trying to make something happen.
Yeah.
You're trying to manifest it. So that's why I prefer manifestar, right?
Yeah. I like that. Thanks for putting that story with it, because that will help me to remember it more.
So put it into a sentence if you can.
Yo presto protest.
No, manifestar.
Oh, yeah. Yo manifesto.
Yeah. Yo manifesto.
Yo manifesto.
All right. Or you could like lift your fist up and say, vamos a manifestar.
And so. Yeah,
so that's the verb.
That's the verb. Manifestar. Right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Manifestar is to protest. Okay. What is the noun? So you're going to a protest.
Okay. Manifestion. Manifestion.
You're very close.
So close.
Manifest.
Manifestación.
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 Mm-hmm.
So where's the accent?
On the O.
Oh, manifestación. No,
manifestación.
Manifestación.
Yeah. Call your Congress representative.
Oh my gosh.
Call your Congress.
It's call
representative.
I have no idea what call.
Okay, we'll give you the verb.
Yeah.
Okay.
Call is llamar.
Oh yeah, llamar.
Okay. So llamar is the verb. Okay.
Llamón.
Shamón.
Shamón.
It's like Michael Jackson. Okay, so here it is.
Probably in the formal tense, it would be llame.
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 A su.
Representante.
Yeah.
Representante.
There you go.
Representante.
There you go.
Representante.
And we know that's super important, right?
Mm-hmm.
So.
What else is important?
To vote in every election.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next one. Vote in every election.
Vote.
Uh-huh.
And. Oh, I forgot every.
Cada.
Cara.
Cada.
Cada. Mm-hmm. Cada elección.
There you
Look at that. You got that one almost all on your own.
Yeah.
Vote en cada elección.
Vote en cada elección. Okay. The next one is be informed.
Ser información.
To be information.
you're so close.
Yeah.
Ser informado.
Uh-huh.
Informado. Ser informado.
Yes, but if you're telling someone to do it, you would say sea informado or informada, depending on, or if you want to be gender inclusive, informadex.
I'm all about the equis, but I can't integrate that into my language yet. I'm still traditional.
It is hard.
Okay, we got one more for you. And this is the one that we'll probably see this year. Now that the Democrats control the House. And what you're going to say for us is impeachment trial.
I know it can't be like, it can't have impeach in it. It's got to be like, I don't know. I have no idea.
Procesamiento.
Ooh, wait.
Here, we'll clap out the syllables like I do with my students at school. Procesamiento.
Procesamiento.
De. Destitución. Destitución.
Destitución.
Yes.
Destitución.
Yes.
Oh my God, that's hard. Procesamiento de destitución.
Look at you.
Oh my God, that is really hard.
So hopefully it's harder for Trump when he gets destituido.
Well, very good, Kim. You are ready for the resistance.
Yes. How do I say it?
La resistencia.
La resistencia.
La resistencia.
They're calling it the Beto effect. the amazing campaign waged by Beto O'Rourke may have come up short in the overcoming the sheer number of Republican voters in rural Texas. But now that the dust has settled, many realize that Beto drew out so many Democratic voters with enthusiasm that he generated that he helped so many more statewide races be closer than they otherwise would have been. And more importantly, it helped Democrats actually win many local races for the first time in many, many years. So, Dave, give us the details on this.
So, and let's talk congressional for a second. In the congressional House races here in Texas, we had two pickups from Democrats that are now going to go to Washington to represent Texas. We have Lizzie Fletcher, who beat her opponent, a Republican incumbent named John Culberson, and she beat him by 4 points in the Houston area in one of the most competitive races this cycle. And then we had a really big race up in the Dallas area. Colin Allred, who is a former NFL player, basically a political newcomer, who beat Representative Sessions. You raised his first name. What was his first name?
Pete.
Who beat Pete Sessions, who is a longtime Republican congressman. Pete Sessions is actually one of the people who is seen as being the only holdup to advancing medical marijuana in Texas. And he was defeated by Colin Allred. So that was a big loss for Republicans, a big pickup for Democrats. Also on the state level, here in the Texas legislature, we had many female candidates. In fact, Texas Democrats picked up 12 Texas House seats that Republicans once controlled. And most of those candidates were, again, female.
Yay!
And of course, what was really noted is the big changes in the judiciary branch here in Texas. A lot of people don't realize how important the judiciary branch here is here in setting policy and, and ruling on court cases. It's not as sexy as the other offices. But as the Texas Tribune noticed, there was a huge seismic shift in the number of judiciaries that were overturned going from Republican to Democratic control. And that is going to have huge implications for all of our lives here in Texas for the years to come. So although we are sad to see Beto lose, people are starting to really observe, like you said, Michael, that Beto, because of his enthusiasm, he really led a lot of down ballot races to success.
Yeah.
And so we're going to end this week's podcast with a little bit of sound from Beto. This was during his concession speech where he was, you know, thanking his supporters. And this is Beto basically thanking everybody.
I want to thank this amazing campaign of people, not a dime from a single PAC, all people, all the time, in every single part of Texas. All of you showing the country how you do this. I'm so fucking proud of you guys.
And we are so fucking proud of you, Beto. Thank you so much.
And all the candidates.
Yes.
All the candidates on the ballot, up and down.
Absolutely.
But just speaking of Beto for a second, his enthusiasm, his energy, the fact that he visited all 254 counties in Texas, working his butt off day after day to try to get people out to vote.
Yeah, and an authentic presence. You know, I mean, he just seemed so real. You know, he seems so real, and that's so refreshing.
Yeah, I hope we get to see him run for something again in the future, and we see more candidates like him.
That's right. And like they're saying it, they're calling it the Beto effect. Lots of positive things to look forward to in Texas because of Beto. So to Beto, we say
S-O-S-O-S-O. Yes, and to you, we say thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to the podcast as usual. Now we know which hero we are. We are inspired by all these wins, and we can go out there and fight. So put on your gloves, people.
Smash.
We got lots to do.
We ain't done yet.
Thanks again for listening to El Puente Podcast, an intersectional conversation where all our voices can meet.
Don't just sit there. Stand up. Don't just listen. Join the conversation.
On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Or you can email us at bocamadremedia@gmail.com.
Now, ma'am.
Well, you can say this is a segment we haven't done in a while.
Okay. All right.
Okay.